Time to find out who's in and who's out with the Injury Report on ESPN Louisville. Presented by Baptist Health Sports Medicine, centered on you. Learn more at BaptistHealth.com.
ESPN Louisville and Baptist Sports Medicine have partnered up to bring you the Injury Report heading into this week's big game. Today we're joined by Dr. Kathleen Naylor of Baptist Sports Medicine to break down all the injuries throughout the sports landscape. Dr. Naylor, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Crazy time of your coaching search season. Louisville's looking for their coach. It looks like they found their coach. The March Madness, it's craziness all over. So it is the madness that is here in March. All right, we won't keep you too long. Kind of a vague question, but John Calipari on his final coaches show kind of alluded to this, and I thought it was interesting. He's the king of recruiting freshmen, 18 and 19 year old kids. But he also alluded to that he needs to go older. And I know with the COVID year and guys getting extra eligibility and talking about the physicality that some of the teams had throughout the year, they had 25, 26 year olds, not necessarily a breakdown of like injuries, but like, what is that gap? And I know everyone grows at a different rate between 18 and 19 year olds in college and freshmen making that transition from there against 25, 26 year olds that are still in the sport. And what are some of the hurdles that some of those 18 and 19 year olds could possibly face there?
You know, you said kind of the key thing is that everybody kind of matures at their own rate. You know, we know the basics of when somebody enters puberty. You know, usually for girls, it's around 10 to 11, more 11 to 12 for boys, but they really don't reach full maturity and finish with puberty changes until like 15 to 17 for girls and 16 to 17 for boys. So if you think about that, that's right around the time that these boys are starting to enter college. And so there could be a big physiologic difference when we look at, say, an 18-year-old versus a 25-year-old. There have been some studies that kind of look at things like your overall strength performance and power performance. And usually kind of the general rule of thumb is that typically most people reach their peak performance level at around age 25, kind of keeps that level for about 10 to 15 years. And then things like muscle mass slowly start to decline around age 40. So like I said, there could be a big difference between an 18-year-old versus a 25-year-old. Now, that type of data, though, doesn't really translate well into things like shooting percentage, number of assists, rebounds, things like that. I think that there's a lot that can also be said, though, for just experience and mental maturity. You know, we talk about that all the time, especially with March Madness, about teams that have even been there before and been in the tournament, how that can make a difference. So I think it's hard to really say, but I do think that there likely would be some both physical advantage and just mental advantage to having some older players.
No, I agree with you. I think, but we try to play sports psychologists with this and maybe put a little too much stock into it. But no, I think it was apparent in the Kentucky-Oakland game that there were many dejected some of the freshman class on the Kentucky team that just didn't look happy or thrilled with that, sulking, you know. And maybe if you're a senior and older, I think there's definitely something to that where it's like, okay, next shot's going in. You're not as thinking as much about that, and that comes with maturity, as you alluded to.
Next up,
an SEC foe that Kentucky is well aware of, Latrell Reichsell, Jr. is out of the second round game of the NCAA on tournament. He took a headshot against Grand Canyon Antelopes, and during the last 10 minutes of the first half, he went down and went to the locker room. When that happens, we hear about all these head injuries. What are some of the steps that the training staff and team doctors go through to clear him to come back for the tournament and some of the games?
So obviously with any head injury, we get worried about concussion, right? That's really been the big topic of conversation going on for probably about 10 years now. You can hit your head and not necessarily have a concussion, but it sounds like in this case, when they pulled him from the game, didn't let him go back in, that he was likely showing some symptoms. Those are the symptoms that we get more concerned about when you start having more widespread symptoms like headache, dizziness, blurred vision, just trouble concentrating, that type of thing. What we're doing during this rest period is just giving the brain time to recover. And what we're looking for when we're talking about clearing someone and getting them returned to play is that all of those symptoms that they're having really need to be gone. They need to be symptom-free first, just at rest, just with day-to-day activity. And then we slowly start having them return to activity and progress their activity just to make sure that the symptoms don't return.
Yeah, and I think that's something that when, especially we see what happens in football year in and year out of just kind of reviewing everything from, head trauma and try to get that. And you can see when guys are dazed and whatnot. I know you don't see it as much in basketball, just because of the protection that you have in football, but it's a little bit more violent of a sport, I would say. But it's just interesting to see kind of them go through some of the concussion protocols with that. All right, next up, keeping it here in the ACC. We had Jeremy Roach. It looked like it's being reported that he had a dislocated pinky, went down in there. I've been there before. It's terrifying when you see it like that. Went back to the locker room. Looks like he got it taped up, but what are the doctors, outside of taping it up, what are doctors and trainers looking to do to help with the pain and bigger picture mobility issues in the days and weeks to come?
So the first thing, which it sounds like they did, is we want to make sure that there's not a break there just with the dislocation. It sounds like they did get some x-rays and they've reported that those were negative. The next thing to do when we're talking about pain control and just having him get back in there is to really just make sure that we're keeping it protected. Luckily, with his case, it's the left hand, it's the pinky. He's a right-handed shooter. Obviously, with basketball, we still use our left hand a lot for things like dribbling, layups, those smaller shots, things like that. But we really got to protect it from doing things like jamming your finger from a pass, snag it in on a jersey, or that type of thing. So we typically will kind of keep it splinted or buddy taped to the next finger. Again, luckily the pinky's kind of the shorter, smaller one. And usually for pain control, we just recommend kind of some of those standard things that we do for a lot of injuries. Ice, keeping it elevated if it's swollen, having them do some over-the-counter medications like ibuprofen, Tylenol. But hopefully this is something that won't be causing him too many problems.
And that is this week's injury report. Thank you so much, Dr. Naylor. Appreciate you. Baptist Health centered on you. Learn more at baptisthealth.com.